T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
It's been a while since the Cardinals have played, and they won't play tonight. They were supposed to play the Cubs, but the game has been postponed because there have been additional, it looks like from what everyone's reporting, there's an additional positive COVID test, but this is after they were quarantined for 6 days and then had 2 workouts. So that's a little concerning, considering. Russ Dorsey, our buddy, who now covers the Cubs for the Sun-Times. And people have found out on Twitter that he's not here for the play-play. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park. Or you can go check it out at alpamonteford.com. Russ is on his way to St. Louis as we speak. And he joins us now here on The Score. So, I guess your drive just got a little bit more interesting, Russ.
Lawrence, I actually just got the call, and I was getting towards Bloomington Normal, and my buddy Jake Mintz from Sesame's Family Barbecue, which everybody knows on Twitter, texts me, and it just says, bro. And so, I figured it was something not good, and I pull over in Bloomington Normal and see what everybody else is seeing, that the Cubs game tonight got postponed. And I called my boss, and I turned around, and I am headed back home. So I got put on Twitter earlier today, grand opening, grand closing for one Russ Dorsey today.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were just going to come back home, because it's not like that so far when we've seen this happen with MLB, it's not like they magically say, hey, let's play the game tomorrow. I mean, it would seem as if at a minimum you're going to postpone this series, but Russ, the Cardinals are already slated to play 55 games in 52 days. I think that it's very unfair to the other teams that and to the Cardinals themselves to try and make up all of this time and these games. How in the world would they even go about doing it?
I don't think you can, Lawrence. And you start to talk about integrity of the game. And it seems like over the last couple of weeks with the couple of outbreaks that we've seen in Major League Baseball, that phrase has gotten bent a little bit here lately. And you're going to ask the Cardinals to play at least minimum like 4 or 5 or 6 doubleheaders over the next couple of months. And then that's just if there's no more outbreaks. That had nothing to do with – that was before today's news of another player testing positive. So – and the problem is now, it's like you mentioned earlier, it's not just affecting the Cardinals. Like, now it's affecting the Cubs. It affected the Tigers earlier in the week. It affects the White Sox next week. So that's 3 teams that are now like, well, dude, we can't play. Like, we have to wait. If your team like the Cubs has been on this hot start, as John Lester talked about earlier this week, now you have to put that on hold for the health and safety of yourself and your teammates and as for the franchise. And you get into the ethical dilemma. And when we talked to Jed Hoyer this week, I asked him specifically about that. Like, ethically, after everything we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and the recent outbreak from the Cardinals last week, did he feel like ethically he could continue to ask his players to be on the field and put themselves at risk? And he said because of, you know, the protocols and everything that they have been doing at just as the Chicago Cubs, not Major League Baseball, they felt comfortable with, you know, at least putting themselves in a position where they can. It's up to, you know, other teams, and they're at the mercy of the virus right now, as we've seen. But you're going to have to wonder that a little bit more now. Like, if I'm Jed, if I'm Theo, if I'm David Ross, I'm not putting my players in jeopardy of getting sick at this point when now, you know, the Cardinals had a workout yesterday.
Yep.
And when we talk about the postponement, yeah, it's postponed today, but you're not going to get those results back until the earliest tomorrow if you get them back then. And now we're talking about two postponed games. So at this point, I would imagine the entire series gets banged, and now you're putting, you know, the Cardinals and the rest of baseball in a tough spot.
Russ, it's got to be bizarre for you to get this opportunity at the Sun-Times. You've been covering baseball for a little bit, but to get this opportunity to cover the Cubs and then it be in the middle of this, what is this like for you to not only be someone who covers the baseball, but now you have to also cover the virus?
No, it's, you know, I think as a journalist, you know, we do live for these moments. I don't want that to come off like I'm not taking this thing seriously. I really am, and I try to stress every day that baseball is secondary here. You know, health of players, you know, health of coaching staffs and front offices and even media members is paramount. And I just try to tell people every day and in stories that, you know, baseball is really not the issue here. It's finding out, can we keep people safe? How can we keep people from getting sick? And that this thing hasn't gone away. Despite baseball and basketball and football gearing up with training camps and the WNBA and the MLS and all these different sports going and golf, you know, there's still a pandemic that's killing people out there, and people are trying to just go on like it's not out there. We haven't even gotten a vaccine yet. So it's been interesting. You know, as the baseball to me, you know, that's the easy part. The hard part is, well, I hate that I have to ask guys about coronavirus every day. But if I don't, I'm not doing my job well, you know. And so it's been a balance of, you know, I'd love to talk about the starting rotation and Craig Kimbrell, and I've tried to do that, you know, where it makes sense. But, you know, I think out of the roughly 25, 26 stories I've written now at the Sun-Times, a good 65% have been about coronavirus and how that affects the Cubs and the rest of baseball. So definitely interesting. What I tell my kids about the first year their dad wrote about baseball on the beat full time. Yeah, there was that year where there was a global pandemic and I had to try to travel around. And then one time I had to turn around in the middle of right before a trip started. So stories like that will be fun to tell one day, but it's definitely been interesting, man.
What do the players say when you talk to them about this stuff?
You can tell, you know, they're trying to put on a brave face. They're trying to be as honest and candid as possible about how they're feeling. And while guys typically rely on the, you know, we just got to take it one day at a time because, you know, we can only John Lester was talking about it last week, and he said, you know, as selfish as it sounds, we have to worry about the Chicago Cubs. You know, we don't want other players. We want.
I think we lost Russ. It's okay. Herbie, tell him don't worry about calling back. Here's why. Because he's driving on 55 right now. And I adore Russ, so I want him to be safe. So tell him I said thank you and that we appreciate his feedback, but we want him to be safe, so we're going to let him just worry about driving. Although I got to give Russ some credit. That's about the best that I've heard someone on the air while driving on the highway. You know, people driving in the neighborhood, but highway driving doing a hit, That's not easy. So I give Russ some credit. It's such a weird thing because I do believe, and I was saying this earlier, that there were a lot of people around baseball that I wouldn't say they were going as far as patting themselves on the back, but I think that there were a lot of people around baseball that were kind of like, we weathered the storm. We weathered the storm of the Miami Marlins thing, and we've weathered the storm of this St. Louis Cardinals thing. Like, it just, there's still so much that we don't know about the virus. Like the incubation period thing is like is an issue, and it would be an issue if I were Theo and Jet. Like, y'all just had a workout yesterday, and someone that would have been involved in this game was a positive. Now, was it a false positive? Because I was reading as we were getting ready to bring Russ on. Pat Fitzgerald is having his press conference right now, or his Zoom conference right now. And he was saying that Northwestern shut down their practices after they got one positive test, and it turned out that it was a false positive. Now, most people that I've seen talk about the idea of false positives and false negatives say it's more likely to get a false negative than a false positive. But I don't know. I don't know. And so we're all just kind of stuck here. And like tonight, I'm looking forward to seeing whether or not the White Sox can get their heads out of their asses. Because trust me, the show that me and Herbie were going to do today is very different than the one that we ended up doing today. Because that was the first White Sox game that made me mad, which is both good and bad, right? It's good because it feels very normal to have those games that make you angry. But you saw it. You saw it last night. Can I take a quick... Is it appropriate for me, Herbie, to take a quick departure into I'm angry at the White Sox land?
No.
Is that appropriate, or should I just stay on what we're doing?
Very appropriate. Never too late, especially after last night's game.
Okay, how about this? How about we take a break, and then we will go to I'm angry at the White Sox land with me, your host, Lawrence Holmes, and my co-pilot in this endeavor, Herb Lawrence. We will do that after a timeout. You're listening to The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well hit, deep left field. Gone. Into the bullpen. Jed Jerko makes it 4-2 Milwaukee.
That highlight is courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll get back to the broadcast in just a second. I'm Lawrence here with you until 2 o'clock. Let's talk a little bit about the White Sox game. And we are still keeping track of what's going on. If we hear anything more about the Cubs-Cardinals series, the game tonight is postponed. But if we hear anything else, we will pass it along to you. And the reason that the game is postponed is that the Cardinals got another positive COVID test. So that's now 14 positive tests. Real quick, before I stray into angry at the White Sox land, people have been asking me on the text line, and text zone is brought to you by Rose and Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at roseandhyundai.com, and we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Well, Lawrence, isn't this exactly why you have the taxi squad? Isn't this why you have the minor league quasi team in whatever city that it is? No, it's not that. The idea for that is, like, let's take the White Sox for example. The idea for that is if Yoan Moncada is not available, you have one player that is out of the picture, and you can replace that one player. It's not really meant to replace a chunk of a team. So the last estimates on this were 8 players and 6 members of the coaching staff for the Cardinals. Let's use those numbers and play with that for a second. If 8 of the 28 players that are on your roster, your active roster, you're going to go and find 8 players in your minor league camp that are going to fit in that role left by those guys, is it possible? Yes. It's not optimal. And that's before we start talking about the coaches. That you now have to replace 6 coaches that are on your staff. It's not meant for that. I know that when we kind of idealize this, it's like, oh, well, you have a whole other team that's just ready to come in and play. That team's probably bad, and you don't want to put them out, and they probably don't deserve to be on a MLB field. Now, granted, what the Marlins have done to the Orioles does fly in the face of my argument. I will offer that to you freely. But on average, you don't want that to be the representative team that you're putting out there. Then, on top of it, if you were a Cub, let's say that the Cardinals have this one case of COVID. You're a Cubs player. And they tell you, oh, yeah, well, sure. We had the outbreak with the 7 players before, and now there's another one. And we practiced at our facility yesterday, and that's where we're going to play you at tonight. Would you be comfortable going there? I don't think I would, and I don't think I would be comfortable going there tomorrow either, which is why, to me, the idea of playing around with this where, oh, well, we're just going to delay tonight. Like, they tried that with the Marlins. They tried that with the Phillies, and then what ended up happening? They ended up scrapping the entire series, which I would be in favor of here. And then the Cubs could at least come back home and they could try and stay sharp and work out at Wrigley until their next series. I think that I understand exactly why you text that and you think that, and I don't think that it's a bad thing for you to think. This is not what these things were put in place to do. The offsite is acting as a quasi-minor league for you. But not everyone there is worthy of playing Major League Baseball, especially for an extended period of time. Okay, now let's get back to talking about the White Sox and last night's game. That was their worst game. And I know that we're only 2 weeks into this, but that was their worst game. And it was odorous. Like, it were all the things that you don't want to see a team that you feel like in contention doing. Before I get to the base running and the Abreu error, which really that one really was grinding my gears. Let's talk about Aloy. Herbie, can we play the Christian Yelich inside the park home run, please? Because, my God, it was comical how bad it was.
Into left field, Aloy going back on it at the warning track, now coming back in, and it bounces off the turf. That's a fair ball. Aloy gets tangled up in the netting, and Yelich is to third. He's coming around third on his way home, and he's inside the park with a home run.
Well, unfortunately, Aloy would tell you that he probably should have had that.
Yeah, he should have caught it. Yelich didn't even really run that hard after he struck it. It would have been like an easy inside the park home run. That's a ball that has to be caught. By an average left fielder, that ball is caught. It wasn't like a high level of difficulty ball either. My issue with Aloy is if you look at his history, his history is him hurting himself playing left field. The spot where you put the person who's not good at defense. I am not here to besmirch the hard work that he's doing. He wants to work. Everyone around the White Sox will tell you that he wants to work. He wants to get better. At some point, you might have to save him from himself. If you go back to what sidelined him earlier this season, it was him literally not looking at the wall. Go look at that play where Aloy basically knocked himself out. He never once looked back. And those are things that you're teaching outfielders when they initially are in your system. And I don't know why it's not happening. But if we're talking about a player that is putting himself in jeopardy by just playing the position, that means he doesn't have a position. I've said multiple times that I think that they should take his glove away and he should be your DH. Here's the problem. You've got a couple guys like that on your roster, and you paid some decent money for a guy this year to be that on your roster. In Edwin Encarnacion. So you're not going to be able to get away with that. You're not going to be able to get away with putting Aloy as your DH and just saying, look, man, you're an incredible offensive player, and that's how we're going to take advantage of how good you are. Knocking a whole bunch. You're Edgar Martinez. Go get him. That's a hard thing to tell a young player who wants to be an all-around player, that wants to help your team. And I have no reason to believe that the White Sox are ever going to take Aloy's glove away, at least inside of this season or in the subsequent seasons over the next 3 or 4 years. I don't know if that's the right move, and I'm leaning towards I don't think it's the right move. I think that he should just be a DH, but as I said earlier, you don't really have a spot for him to do that. So he's got to play left, and you want to keep his bat in the lineup, so you're not going to bench him. But that doesn't mean that yesterday wasn't rough, and it was funny. And I feel bad laughing at him because he's a wonderful kid. And I wonder if he laughs at it, but the optic of him being trapped in the net like a fish and not being able to get out in time to make a throw back to the infield as Christian Yelich is galloping around the bases for an inside the park home run. That wasn't the worst thing. Like, it was the funniest thing, and I feel bad for Aloy. It wasn't the worst thing that happened to the White Sox yesterday. Gio Gonzalez worked out of some jams early, and then you if you give him an opportunity, if you give the other team an opportunity to see him for a third time, bad things go happen. I thought that he wasn't terrible yesterday. I thought he was decent yesterday. And I was sitting there in the fourth going, wow, you know, it's if you get five innings out of Gio in this game, then you're doing something right. Then you can probably win this game if you get five innings out of him. Then bad things happen. Four and a third, eight hits, five runs, four earned, three walks, three strikeouts for Gio Gonzalez. Cishek hasn't seemed right all season. And when he pitched last night, he got beat up. He hasn't looked comfortable. He's been walking people. Now, at that point, it kind of didn't matter. But if you were thinking about any sort of comeback, that's now out the window too. The base running by Mendick and Grandal, those were the things that got me hot yesterday. Where you have guys just, in Mendick's case, not knowing where the defender was. And in Grandal, I don't know what Yaz was doing. I don't know what he was doing. He should have been out. And he's lucky that he wasn't. And then there's the Abreu kind of, it was a high throw. Like, so I'll give Jose that. The throw was high, but it was very nonchalant the way that he went after the throw. And it's why the error ended up being on him. So there was a lot not to like about last night's White Sox game. Herbie, what didn't you like about the game?
Of course, the Eloy play. I've said it many times, just like you. He should be a DH or at least converted to a first baseman. Somehow get him out of left field, those tough plays where he seems to hurt himself physically and also hurt the team with, you know, giving up runs. If you look at his defensive metrics, they're terrible. And he, but even before missing the ball and going into the net, the route he took, the circuitous route to that ball, and I know the wind swirl at U.S. cellular guaranteed rate, but there's no reason for that. You should by this time as a left fielder in the league know how the ball's going to be played, especially off a left-handed hitter's bat. It's just going to go more towards the foul pole, and it's going to carry over there. So that really upset me. Steve Cishek being bad, not just like struggling, he's bad. Like, he can't get the pitches over the plate where he needs to. His slider that, you know, goes off the plate to a right-hander usually induces a couple swings. That's not happening anymore. I don't know what's going on. It's last year with the 70 innings pitch. Was it last year or the year before with Joe Maddon, 70 innings pitch, that maybe ruined this guy because he is not the same guy I saw a couple years ago. So that's very troubling, where the bullpen has been pretty solid as a whole. Cishek and Jace Fry, to this point, to me, haven't done the job that they were paid for as yet.
Yeah, it's a concern. Like, it's a major concern when a guy that you're I wouldn't say counting on is probably, like, that's probably overstating it, counting on, but someone that you do want to be a part of a very active bullpen, you need him. And what you're getting right now is not good. So last year, it's been Herbie, he's done 134 and a third in the last two seasons. Ooh. So basically, he's thrown about 70 innings in each of those seasons, which is not great for the White Sox this year.
Chris Tannehill brought up on our Locked On Sox episode last night was that how bad did Schwarber look initially? Like, he hurt himself, I think at the beginning of 2016 with a knee injury. He wasn't a guy that you were like, man, that's a solid left fielder. Now, Schwarber, you don't really think twice about him, and especially with the arm, that man is solid.
Well, that's the mitigating fact. He still takes some weird routes to balls, but the fact that he can eliminate a run here or there because he can throw people out. And I know that, you know, he famously gets hurt and ends up tearing up his knee running into Jason Hayward. That makes you think, oh, well, he and Aloy are the same. I think Schwarber's a better outfielder than Aloy. Some guys just don't have that knack for it. And there's his instincts are – that's the thing that bothers me about Aloy. He doesn't seem to have instincts for the position. And that's why I go back to him hitting the wall. Where you aren't looking back. And you hit the track. It's literally called the warning track. And it never occurred to him, maybe I'm getting close to the wall. And that's a guy that's making a hustle play. Like he wants to try and save the home run. But if you're going 100 miles an hour and you don't look back, like you're going to end up on the IL. And that can't happen for an offense that quite honestly still needs him to be one of the looming factors inside of their offense. It's not good. It wasn't fun last night. There was some fun, though, okay? I may have hated the game, and in the game itself made me angry. The broadcast, though, had a bunch of hilarious moments, but we thought that we would share this particular hilarious moment. So check this out. At one point during the game last night, and if you were watching it, maybe you didn't stick around for it, but I thought it was outstanding. Steve Stone and Jason Benetti did a whole thing on the difference between a splitter and a spitter. This is top-notch broadcasting. Check it out.
So we were talking about the splitter and the spitter earlier, and you want to show us these things.
So on a splitter, you spread your fingers. I threw one occasionally, which is why it's fairly easy to do at this point, and you like to hold it either side of the horseshoe. When you release the ball, it comes out, or you try to, with no spin at all. The reason being, with no spin, you let the air currents get to the baseball, and it takes it straight down. Same thing with the spitter, only it's held with no seams at all. You have whatever substance you might use on your first two fingers, okay. Not your thumb. You try to push it out, and also it comes out with no spin and then goes straight down. The key on a splitter is when you throw it here and your thumb is there, you pull down and push out with your thumb. If you throw it right, go straight over the top, straight down, and hitters have no chance. Bruce Sutter used this to go to the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens used it. A lot of pitchers. Jack Morris had a splitter. A lot of great pitchers have good splitters. But it's really difficult on your arm. One of the reasons why I felt with Shohei Ohtani it would be difficult is because he threw so hard, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Huge spin on the curveball, and he was throwing a splitter also. I thought it was too much velocity to throw both the curve and the splitter. He's going to be shut down for this entire season pitching-wise, but his bat means so much to the Angels that he's a valuable man.
When your friends were throwing the spitter,
yeah,
what substance were your friends, definitely your friends and not you, using?
You could use Slippery Elm, which is a little tablet that you put under your thumb, under your tongue, so I'm told. Mm-hmm. Or you can use, occasionally, you know, you don't want to use a foreign substance.
No.
So KY jelly made right here in the United States is probably the best thing you can use. And other than that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I got to go. But that's all your friends telling you that.
Yeah, of course.
And you've never
done that. No, that would be illegal.
That.
You can't do that. That's not within the rules. And it's bad sportsmanship.
Which you're totally against.
That was so great. Stoney is so slick. And I love that. Don't use any foreign substances. KY jelly made right here in the United States. The great part about that is, one, you're getting a real education on how to throw a splitter from Stoney. He's telling you how to grip it. He's telling you how to rip it, as Mitch Trubisky would say. And he's telling you how damaging it could be, too, on your arm. And then they get to have a little bit of fun. I was howling watching that last night. So fun. So crazy. That's the way it's supposed to be. They're a really good team. Like, we were talking about Pat and Ron and Zach on the broadcast yesterday. And I love those guys. We're very lucky. Like, we got a bunch of teams that you can tell that the broadcasters like each other. And when that's the case, I think the broadcast itself can go to another level. There's another portion last night where Stoney was talking about it not being hard to find Benetti because he's either in his living room or his bedroom or at the ballpark. That he knows exactly where he is at all times is great. So I thought that since they had a little fun, we would have a little fun with it. And I'm glad they did it because it was the one bright spot in watching the game last night. Maybe there'll be some more bright spots tonight for the White Sox as they start their weekend series with Cleveland. You could use some wins against these guys. So hopefully they'll figure it out. We're going to take a break and we'll preview Blackhawks Edmonton game 4 next here on The Score. A little bit of news outside of Syracuse, New York. Hello. The Syracuse football players decided yesterday that they weren't practicing because of concerns of playing during the coronavirus pandemic. I keep wondering when the players are going to take the power in this. And in some cases, out in the Pac-12, we're seeing a coalition of players in a bunch of different sports get together. I keep wondering when the players are going to realize, you know, we could just not play. And that would put an end to a lot of the schedule shenanigans that are going on right now around college football. We could just not play. We'll see. Before we get out of here, there is a hockey game in 4 hours. The Blackhawks and the Oilers are going to play. It's a 5:45 puck drop. Wait, which one was it? I think actually this game starts on NBC Sports Chicago Plus. Let me check my schedule here because I can actually look. Nope, it's on the regular. It's on, so Blackhawks are on NBC Sports Chicago starting at 5:30, okay? And then the White Sox are on Plus starting at 7. Got it? Good. Jay Zawoski gave us this preview of what he thinks will happen in Game 4.
I think an advantage the Hawks have is the fact that all the pressure right now is on the Oilers. The Oilers are the team that went into the series with expectations. The Oilers are the team that are literally playing on their home ice. They're one of two teams that are doing that throughout this whole bubble system. They've got all the pressure on them to win this series. And the Hawks can sort of take advantage of that and take advantage of their anxiety, of their nerves, of their postseason inexperience. This is where Taves, Kane, Saad, Crawford, Keith, these guys who have won multiple Stanley Cups and have been through deep playoff runs, this is where that experience pays off. And they can really, you know, if they get out to an early lead in Game 4, let's say they get up 2-0 in the first period, how's Edmonton going to handle that? How are they going to react to that stress, to that pressure? Look, you've got a guy in McDavid that can turn a game on its head in a flash, but trust me, the rest of that team, those nerves are going to set in, that doubt's going to set in, and that is going to work to the advantage of the Blackhawks. So a quick start in Game 4 for the Hawks, to me, is absolutely key. If they can plant that seed of doubt that's probably already been planted after last night, they can advance to the actual playoffs, which I'm very much looking forward to.
If I can add a little bit to Jay's analysis, that what might be more important than the Blackhawks getting off to a quick start is them not allowing Edmonton to get off to a quick start. Because if you look back at Game 2 of this series, that was their focus, and they, what was it, 19 seconds in? They score that first goal. I think that if we get into a point where the game is scoreless and it's settled in late in the first period, advantage Blackhawks. Because I think that what Jay said is right, that there's a lot of pressure on Edmonton. There's a lot of pressure on Connor McDavid, and they've got to make some things happen. So we'll get that stuff. You know, that stuff I was talking about yesterday is going to happen early. We're going to get that desperation-type hockey, which I am a fan of. I like desperation hockey. It's fun. And we'll get an opportunity to see it. And then, as Jay said, if you didn't know, the Blackhawks aren't officially in the playoffs. They're in a qualifying round. If they were to win tonight, they would then advance to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So good luck to them tonight. It should be interesting for sure. If you are watching the PGA Championship, it's back. Tiger is so far in the hunt, which is a big deal. The PGA is back. PGA coverage on the Score is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. A big thanks to our guests all week. I think we've had some really good shows. Thanks to everyone who was watching on Twitch today. We were like testing that out, so that's going to be a part of it. If you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670theScore is where you can watch the show. So that's like a new thing. So that's what's up. McNeil and Parkins are they at Mac's house?
Correct.
What's happening?
Yeah, they're having like a pool party for like the whole crew.
Oh, okay.
And doing a show too.
All right. Well, Steve Stone's going to be there. Well, not at the party. He's going to be on the air at 4 o'clock because Stone's got a baseball game to call. Zach Plesac's going to be on the show, and he's going to talk about what he did to the White Sox the last time. Mark Lazarus and David Haw are all scheduled to talk with the boys. So
the
make
last
sure you check
two are
going to
actually be there.
Oh, that's right, because David lives in Kentucky, so this is halfway in between. Okay. Oh, didn't Lazarus move there too?
He did.
Oh, so they got the whole Indiana crew together. All right. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. I'll be on Twitter tonight for the White Sox game for sure. House of L, I talked all about the NBC stuff on the latest episode. And this week's guest is Mina Kimes, and she had some things to say about the Bears. So make sure you check out House of L, subscribe to it. I would love that if you did that. I'll talk to you on Monday at noon, and we'll have more clarity on where things stand with the Cubs and the Cardinals. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.